Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Are you not excited to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to say thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for a year well spent. A year that, Lord, you have been good to us. We can always look back and acknowledge and attribute great things to you. Even though we are not at that very day yet, when the year is over, but we are grateful. And with a grateful heart, we come to you this morning. We say, hallowed be thy name. We know the days that are left in this year, you're going to take care of us. If you have brought us thus far, we know we are not going to be found wanting a few days before the end of 2015. We're looking forward to 2016 with great things. Still expecting great things, because great are you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together this morning. I pray you will speak to our hearts, affect our lives. You teach us a lesson, and that we will live according to what you teach us. Thank you, Father, for everyone here this morning. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, you may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Are you there? Well, we're getting to the end of the year. And it comes with a lot of things, isn't it? This is a season where people will be working a lot. It's a season where people will be spending a lot. It's a season that you can easily not be yourself. Alright, so we want to learn a short and a quick lesson this morning in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, the Bible says that this guy, maybe let's read from verse 1. It'll be a little, we have some time. Verse 1, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1, using the NLT this morning. Many years later, King Belshazzar gave a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and he drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking the wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver cups that his predecessor Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. He wanted to drink from them with his nobles, his wives, and his concubines. So they brought these gold cups taken from the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. And while they drank from them, they praised the idols made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly, they saw the fingers of a human hand writing on the plaster wall of the king's palace near the lampstand. The king himself saw the hand as it wrote. The Bible says, and his face turned pale with fear. I mean, somebody of authority like that to have his face turn pale with fear. It meant that some other power was in the house. Such terror gripped him that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way beneath him, which means he fell. And that's how people don't understand why people fall in church, because their legs give way. And because the legs that you have, that is what actually keeps you standing. And once your legs are tired, everything must come down. So you see that in the church, when the power of God, you see, this is just the presence of God that shows up. And it is so much. When you see fingers writing on the wall in your living room, I mean, he stayed. Some of us would have run away. Because you will never attribute it to anybody like God. You will say some zombie or some dead somewhere. People even say that it's a Dutchman. Dutchman used to live in the place. Everything is Dutch. Everything is Dutch. And when you say Dutch, I don't even understand it, because when you say Dutch to somebody who is not properly Guyanese, it's a different thing. Dutch is a language. Dutch is somebody who is from Holland. So when you say Dutch, I don't know what you mean. So when they say Dutch, they say Surinamese. The Surinamese, they are not Dutch people. They're Africans. Anyway, but this explains why people sometimes behave the way they behave in church. And this must also tell you that as long as the power and the presence of God is in the church, people will behave strange. The moment the power of God or the presence of God is not in the church, everybody is normal. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So instead of people trying to say that, oh, what is happening? It's a bad place. Is this, is that, is that. You should rather check whether you know the Bible, you know the scriptures that well, to warn or criticize or say something bad about the church. It's because even when you look at it, when it comes to other things, like even when it comes to football, it comes to cricket, it comes to things of importance in this world, you always invite the comment of somebody who is a specialist in that area. Analyst. It's only in church work that foolish men and idiots make comments of something they have no idea about. Now you understand what I'm saying? When it comes to cricket, and there's a radio program on cricket, they will not call Brother Sherwin to come and talk about cricket. What does Sherwin know about cricket? What does Pastor Keith know about cricket? So let's welcome Pastor Keith to come and give us the reason why the West Indies, they are not doing well these days. Pastor Keith? Yeah, people will laugh at the DJ or the host of the program. When we talk about the economy, you can't. If you bring a pastor to talk about economy, you are not serious. Yeah, but when it comes to church work, almost everybody knows something about church. It's a delusion. It's a deception. Yeah, it's a big deception. It's hallucinations that people think that, oh, church is this, church is that. But when you are not an expert when it comes to church. The same way, when you go to Georgetown, even though Georgetown Hospital is not something we like, there are certain things that work there. That if you're a doctor or a nurse, you understand why. Why you wait longer than somebody else. There's a reason. But you see, as a lay person, you are in pain. You want to be attended to one time. So if anybody delays, you got to get vexed. And then go private. When you go private, oh, there's not a lot of people, so they will take care of you. Yeah. So the Bible says that the king reacted. I mean, can you imagine a big man invited 1,000 of his nobles, had a party for the 1,000. And he was sitting with his wives and concubines. And remember, in those days, when you have wives or you have a lot of women, it was only symbolic of power and not sex, for example. And many people talk about Solomon, and it wasn't sexual, because how much sex can you have? How much can you have? The guy had 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. No medicine can help you. How many can you take care of? It wasn't something that, you know, you want to have this girl. No. It was more a sign of power. So when Belshazzar sat on his throne and had his wives and concubines around, it's like he has brought out his best shot. And at that gathering, nobody dared disturb anything about him, because he was at the top of his display. I don't know if you're following what I'm trying to say. Otherwise, the Bible will say, oh, he invited 1,000 of his nobles and he was just there with his first wife. If he was there with one wife, it wouldn't have been a great occasion. I'm coming to something. And you must follow, all right? We're going somewhere. So to have all those girls and all those nobles around, it was a great occasion. Yeah. Because anytime a man sees a woman, when we were younger, we used to play football. And then you have some of these girls in the area, girls you've been chasing that they are not minding you. They come around and they watch the football. The ball will go somewhere that you shouldn't go for, but you go for it. Yeah. The ball will be high in the air. You kick balls that are on the ground. Now there's something called a Caesar kick. Hey, the ball is up. And then you jump up and you hit the ball. You have to watch your back when you are coming down. But when the girls are there, you don't mind. You hit your back and it's like there's no pain. After the match, you go, ow! Because there were some one or two girls around. I'm saying that when you have women around you, it's show. Yeah. It's show. It's like your best is on the table. Yeah, so think correctly when you see these Bible characters with many, many women, especially kings. It was more. Yeah, it's a sign of power. So he sat on his throne and all these wives were there, including girlfriends. The ones that he had not married officially, who were still recognized as an extension of his power. Yeah. And the guys around. Yeah. Even when you are not saved and you chase a lot of girls, or you are able to sleep with a lot of girls, it makes you feel, even though it's foolishness, it makes you feel like you're too great. Isn't it? Some people keep a list of girls they have slept with. Yeah. They mark them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 20. Say, hey, I am too powerful. You are too powerful. You are foolish. That's what it is. I don't know why God made it like that. Or why we think like that. Because God made it one and one in the beginning. I don't know what came into human beings to think that if you have more of these kind of species, that you are great. Papi. So the man I hope you are following. Because for the finger to appear on the wall to write, and for his face to turn pale with fear in the midst of his glory, in the midst of the girls who, I'm sure people are even wiping his face. He's feeling good. Terror gripped him that his knees knocked together and his legs gave away beneath him in the presence of the wives and the concubines. Hey, Belshazzar, where are you? Where is your power? We thought you were powerful. 7. The king shouted for the enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers to be brought before him. You see, now he's trying to look for his tools to try and counteract that which has happened, to show the women that, hey, he's... Because 1,000 nobles, wives and concubines, something like this has happened to you. I mean, you got to try something to show that you are still there. He said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever can read this writing and tell me what it means will be dressed in purple robes of royal honor and will wear a gold chain around his neck. He will become the third highest ruler in the kingdom. You see his mouth? You see what he's trying to say? He's trying to prop up some power which he doesn't have. A finger has made you become so disorganized. Eight. But when all the king's wise men came in, none of them could read the writing or tell him what it meant. I can imagine how his face looked like in front of the women there. Because again, think about it. He's trying to... You can't embarrass a man in the presence of his wife. Or in the presence of, if you want to call it, girlfriend. I mean, you look at these kind of people who go to clubs and things like that. They go to the show or somewhere with a girl and then, you know, want to disrespect him in front of the girl. Hey! Who is you? Who is you? I mean, we will break bottles now. We'll fix you up. How dare you? Yeah. Papi, do you recognize what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Nobody disrespects you. That's why even your wife in public cannot openly disagree with you. It's something we advise. A wife should not, cannot, and must not. You'll be a foolish wife. To in public, you go to somewhere, you and your husband, there's a discussion, and then, you know, and then all of you are talking, and your husband says something that is not correct. When you go home, say, sweetie, I beg you, what you said was very, very wrong. No, but you can't say it in public to say, you know what? Oh, but you, no, what you are saying is, no. You can't disgrace a man in public. Yeah, no, you can't. So he grew even more alarmed. And he has a reason to grow more alarmed. Because he's been disgraced now. His face turned ashen white. Now from pale to ashen white. I'm sure the women were looking at him. He said, hello, Mike, what are you doing? Looking at you. Do something, let's see. Because we know you are powerful in Babylon. There's nobody as great as you. And remember, Belshazzar had succeeded his father, Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar was the guy who carried all the Jews into captivity in Babylon. So he inherited a great kingdom. He was on top. But when the queen mother heard what was happening, she hurried to the banquet hall. Queen mothers are always known to be wiser. Right? When we say a queen mother, it's like the queen. You have the king and you have the queen. The queen is not your wife in most cases. Sometimes the queen can be your father's mother or something. The queen is not necessarily your wife. It could be, you know, it could even be your auntie, your father's sister. So the queen mother who was there for a long time, who was, you see, but when the queen mother heard what was happening, it means that she was not at the function. Because she wasn't Belshazzar's wife. Otherwise, she would have been there. She must have been an auntie or a big sister or something. She hurried to the banquet hall. She said to Belshazzar, "Long live the king. Don't be so pale and afraid about this. There's a man in your kingdom who has within him the spirit of the holy gods. During Nebuchadnezzar's reign." No, she has been there for a while. Far older than Belshazzar. "This man was found to have insight, understanding, and wisdom, as though he himself were a god. Your predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him chief over all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers of Babylon. This man, Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, has a sharp mind and is filled with divine knowledge and understanding." Hey, the wisdom of Daniel. Rebecca, do you remember now the wisdom of Daniel? Sharp mind and is filled with divine knowledge and understanding. It's like he knows the scriptures before the pastor even talks about the scripture. He can interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. When people tell you what a dream means, you should look at their face carefully. If it's Daniel or if he has the spirit of Daniel or not. People like to just interpret dreams and say all kinds of things about dreams. So when you sleep and you get this dream, it means that. Who is you? Are you Daniel? You don't look to me like somebody who has the sharp mind and you are filled with divine knowledge and understanding. The church world, the kingdom, is the place where we lower the value of things. Everybody is saying whatever they think about a dream. To the extent that you don't need a pastor. You don't need a man of God. You don't need somebody who is filled with the power of God. You don't need somebody who is filled with the presence of God. No, you can do all bad by yourself. You can explain it by yourself. Somebody can help you. It is the only world institution where the highest order is disrespected. Because if you go to any institution, for example, I was in Trinidad. I'm sure they will listen to the message. And I was somewhere. And then somebody came and served us with orange juice. So they served all of us in orange juice. So at the point I said, "Hello, you are disrespectful. I am the CEO of Lighthouse Chapel International Incorporated in Guyana. In fact, I oversee this place I have come. I oversee this church also. You cannot come and pour orange juice in my glass without asking me what I want to drink. You are very disrespectful." They were looking at me. I said, it's so shameful that you even don't know this simple thing. The next day, come and see your options. If you go to business meetings, look at all these end of year parties people are organizing. Where is your party being organized? People are going to Pegasus? People are going to where? Marriott? People are going where? Atachong? Uh-huh. Gravity. All kinds of places. And when they go there, they're going to spend proper money. One night. Yeah, just a couple of hours. Millions of dollars. Taxpayers' money. But you see, we are at a church. We can't do that to the offering. The offering is God's money. So we can't take the offering and say, "You know what? Me and my pastors and me and my leaders, we are going to Marriott to blow Christmas party." I can't do that. In fact, when we are going to have a Christmas party, I have to ask you to cook and bring. Devon. Or to bring some $1,000 as a contribution towards the Christmas party. You may easily think that we are very, very... No, but God's money is different from taxpayers' money. And if you have a sense of responsibility, you would handle the money or the...
You can't blow money like that. We see that. So people disrespect the church. Many people have issues and problems. They don't want to go to a pastor. They'll talk to just anybody. And anybody will tell them that, including you sitting down looking at my face. Your best advisor is not even a pastor. Your best advisor doesn't even have the Spirit of God in them. How can your life go well? That's why your life is the way it is. When kings, the king is looking for a solution. Astrologers and people came, they couldn't help him. It took somebody who is anointed to show you the secret about something that God is saying. How can we live our lives like that? Think that anybody can advise you, anybody can guide you. We disrespect the Spirit of God. He can interpret dreams, explain riddles. You see, and that is the fight against Christianity. What we have grown up with, what we have been brought up with, what my mother say, what my grandmother used to say, what I know, what I think, that is what fights these new things that the kingdom of God is giving to us. Because they have already laid down what a dream means. So how can you bypass that and go and look for somebody who is filled with the Spirit of God to explain the dream to you? That's how come sometimes people even go and see Obia people, because it's like, you know, you want somebody to help you in this mysterious thing. They have a spirit. They solve difficult problems. Hey, do you have a difficult problem? Who is supposed to solve it for you? Hey. Call for Daniel and he will tell you what the writing means. The queen mother was so sure that if I have a problem as a queen mother, I will not call these astrologers. I will not call these magicians. I know somebody in whom the spirit of the gods dwell. The way he's anointed is even like God. When you identify somebody like that, you should know how to treat and deal with such a person. The anointed in his anointing. Verse 13. So Daniel was brought in before the king. The king asked him, "Are you Daniel? So if your name is Daniel, you must be at your best behavior." The king asked him, "Are you Daniel, who was exiled from Judah by my predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar? I have heard that you have the spirit of the gods within you. And that you are filled." You see, when you are writing, you see how they write the gods. Many young people don't write God with a big G. They write with a small G. A small G means an idol. A big G means God Almighty. Sometimes young people communicate with me and you see how they write God, realize that they don't even understand, they don't even know what kind of God they are talking about. It's an idol they are referring to. God is spelled with a capital G. God, they are gods. And he's the God of all gods. And that you are filled with insight, understanding, and wisdom. My wise men and enchanters have tried to read this writing on the wall, but they cannot. I am told that you can give interpretations and solve difficult problems. If you can read these words and tell me their meaning, you'll be clothed in purple robes of royal honor, and you will wear a gold chain around your neck. You will become the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Hey! It's a nice prize. Man! And this is what sometimes motivates people to do things. Daniel answered the king, "Keep your gifts." you think I want a gold chain around my neck? I don't want no beddings. People are breaking chains. You want me to put a chain around my neck? Keep your gifts or give them to someone else. But I will tell you what the writing really means. I don't need your things. That's a real man of God. He doesn't need anything from you to be of service to you. Yeah.
is from Judah, man of God from Judah.
Your Majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty. Think, look at this. The Most High God gave. My message is entitled, Recognize the Hand of God. Recognize the Hand of God. You can live your life up to this time and do not and will not acknowledge or recognize. You see, you recognize is an ability many people don't have. Recognize the hand of God. You must recognize. If you can, your life will be different. The Most High God, Daniel is saying, is the one who had something and he gave to you. That which you have now is the Most High God, Calvin, who has given it to you. Whatever you have is the Most High God who has given it to you. Me, the more I fly around, the more I become grateful to God for protection. I was flying from British Virgin Islands to St. Martin. The plane they put me inside is a plane I've sworn never to sit in. When I got to the airport, I was looking for the plane. I said, where's the plane? They said, the plane is there. I said, I can't see the plane. The plane is small. Only 21 people can go into the plane. It's like a minibus that can fly. The sign of the cross. I mean, I had no option to leave the island. So I went into him like a sheep being led to the slaughter. Sat inside the plane. You can see the pilot right there. I'm sitting here, the pilot is right there. The sound of the plane. Hey! You will have to count on God, not the pilot. And it takes off 7,000 feet over the Caribbean Sea. For about an hour. And then we meet some clouds. It was there and there that I understood turbulence. The clouds are traveling. When you see the clouds, they are traveling. They are coming like that. So the speed with which they travel is what shakes the plane. So we met some clouds. It was with rain for about 25 seconds. Oh, Lord. I said, it's God who gives. I tell you. I don't rely on the pilot. Because some of the pilots, they'll even take the plane and go and hit a mountain and you will die. How can you rely on the pilot? Yeah. So when I sit in the plane, I say, Lord, angels, the blood of Jesus. Hey, forgive me for every sin I have committed. And then take us safely. You want to sit in the plane, you should let that be your formula. Angels, the blood, and your sins. You are sure that when you die, you go to heaven. It's God who gave. Sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. That which you are enjoying now, that you have brought up all these nobles and these girlfriends and wives, it is something that God Almighty gave to Nebuchadnezzar that you are now sitting inside. It's like a vehicle that somebody has died and has handed it over to you, and you are driving, you are playing music inside, forgetting and not knowing that it is God who has handed this thing to you. You look into your life, you and I, today, Thanksgiving Sunday, recognize the hand of God in your life. Recognize it. People did not recognize things. That's why Nicodemus went to Jesus by night. He was the only one out of the members of parliament who went to see Jesus in the night, because he recognized the hand of the Most High God upon Jesus Christ. And he said, no man doeth these things that thou doest, except God that I have recognized is with you. Recognize the hand of God in your life, my dear. The things you are able to do, the things that come your way, the things that you're able to enjoy, it's God. I said, it's God. If you don't recognize it, your life will be different, I tell you. He gave it to your predecessor in the book of Nisa, verse 19. And he said what? He made him so great that people of all races and nations and languages trembled before him in fear. Who are you that people do such a thing to you? People, they tremble at your sight. Who are you? How different are you from another human being that somebody will look at you and tremble before you? So it means that you have been given something very supernatural. So many things come our way that we enjoy without recognizing. Some bad things you do that you have not died as yet. Don't feel that you are too big. It's God. Shewin, it's God. As if God also look at, if it wasn't God, you wouldn't be alive. What makes you live? Why should you live? Why should you? Tell me why you should live. It's God. He killed those he wanted to kill and spared those he wanted to spare. He honored those he wanted to honor and disgraced those he wanted to disgrace. He's disgracing people right now. People who have chopped money, embezzled funds, all kinds of things. You are there. He has not disgraced you as yet. Recognize the hand of God. But when his heart and his mind were hardened with pride, he was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven from human society. He was given the mind of an animal. And he lived among the wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow. You see what happens if you don't recognize the hand of God? He became an animal. Who stops eating puri and roti, cook up to eat grass? Because that person fails to recognize the hand of God. He said he was drenched with the dew of heaven until he learned that the Most High God rules the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over them. It's God. It's God. There was this young boy who was hit by a truck. He was in a motorbike or something like that, and he died. People are in jail. People are sick. People have committed suicide. They plan the suicide. They go to catch your force and they jump. They spend money to die. It's another level of death. Suicide. If you want to kill yourself, why don't you just drink poison? Find some Kero somewhere and drink. Why do you have to spend about $200? Go to catch your force and jump. It's an expensive death. 22. You are his successor, O Belshazzar, and you knew all this. Yet, you have not humbled yourself. For you have defied the Lord of heaven and have had these cups from his temple brought before you and your nobles. Your wives and concubines, and have been drinking wine from them while praising what? As you are drinking, you are praising the gods of silver. Isn't that what the Hindus do? You have a god of sun, god of rain, god of this, god of that. I I sometimes see some vehicles, they say, Lord, Shiva's blessings. I say, if only you knew that Shiva doesn't have any blessings. Yeah. You're drinking wine from those cups, and as you are drinking wine, you see, you are enjoying something that God has put together. And instead of praising God himself, you are praising something else. He said, the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Gods that neither see nor hear. If you have a God that cannot see or hear, it's an idol. Nor know anything at all. But you have not honored the God who gives you the breath of life. You have not recognized and controls your destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, as the year is going to a close, this is what you must understand. God Almighty is the one who has given you everything you have, from your life to your shoes, from your life to the breath you breathe, from your life to the privileges you enjoy. You cannot be a blind man. You cannot be a blind woman and not recognize the God of heaven. You will not live again. I said, you will not live again if you fail. You see, it is one of the greatest sins to not recognize God in your life. What do you have? Sometimes we make the mistake, the thing is that we don't have much. Because we don't have what somebody has. Therefore, we don't have anything. You have life. Somebody's dead. Somebody wants the life you have. You don't even respect the things that God has given to us. Let's recognize what God has done for us. And let's recognize what we have. Some people didn't even grow or live to be the age that you are at. Ask yourself, why should you live? Why should you be enjoying the things you are enjoying? What makes you different from somebody else? It's the Most High God, like Daniel said, is the one who gave sovereignty. He's the one who has given what you have to you. My time is up. Stand to your feet, please. Recognize the hand of God. Let's take a minute or two with your eyes closed. There's a song that says it's very nice. It says, count your many blessings and name them one by one. And then you'll see what God has done. Just for a minute or two, thank God for your life. You may not have what the world might want to make you believe you should have. All that the world has to give is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's all the world has to give you. Thank God, praise God, worship God for what He has given you. Yes, go ahead, thank Him. Recognize the hand of God upon your life. Recognize it. Come on, as you recognize it, you open your mouth and you pray. You pray. Somebody who's grateful. If you're grateful, you pray, you speak, you act, you show your gratitude.
If you are grateful, if you are thankful, show it. Show it to God this morning. Thank God. As you recognize the very, very things He has given to you. Daniel said He gave sovereignty. It is He who gave sovereignty to Nebuchadnezzar, your predecessor. And you have come, you are enjoying it. But you are enjoying it, not praising the one who gave it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not His benefits. Baba baske brinde me keria baskata ya baba. Me ske berende berebe shika barandas. Mandoro mo ke breska bandiri mi ke breske berendes. It is God. It is God. It is God. It is God. It's not your beauty. It's not your intelligence. It's not your skill. It's not who you are. It's God who has given it to you. There are some people who don't have what you have. It's God. It's God. It's God. It's God.
I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me. And I have believed in the lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart. Show yourself strong, and in my eyes, and with my song, oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Be magnified, O Lord.
You are highly exalted.
You are highly exalted. And there is nothing you can do, O Lord, my eyes.
Father, this morning, we come to you with a grateful heart. Indeed, we recognize all the great things that, Lord, you have done, the great things that you are doing, the great things that you continue to do. Like Daniel said, we agree, we recognize it today, that it is the Most High God, the Most High God who gives everything we have, from our families, our children, our jobs, our monies, ourselves, our bodies, the things we are. Every single thing we can point to and say we know of that belongs to us and we enjoy. The earth we breathe, we recognize today, oh God, if we have not before, that is the Most High who gives it. We will not praise the gods of the air, the gods of wind, even the love we enjoy. Lord, people contribute or attribute love to a God. The God, the Valentine God. Love is from you. The Bible says God is love. It's you. The love we experience in the church, the love we experience in our lives is God, the Most High God who gives it. We're grateful. I want to say thank you for everything that, Lord, you do. Everything you're doing and everything you're going to do. We're grateful. This morning here at the Lighthouse Chapel, we say we're grateful. Thank you, Lord, for every and everything. We honor you, we bless you. And we know that as long as we serve you, we will continue to receive the things you have in store for your people. Thank you, Father, for a great year. The few days that are left, we know you will not leave us in the middle of nowhere. Continue to give us life. Continue to give us strength. Continue to give us the things we have been enjoying and even more. May your name be glorified in our life always. I give you praise, Lord, and I give you glory. In Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.